It's Palm Sunday, and we have the palm crosses here to remind us of that event. And I hope you all take one home with you. But the amazing thing is that in about 520 before Christ, a man called Zechariah, who was a prophet, prophesied that it would happen over 500 years before it did. That's amazing. And this is what he wrote. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Amazing. 500 years before, that was prophesied that would happen to the Lord Jesus. And then the Apostle John, an eyewitness of that event, records it for us in John chapter 12, verses 12 to 19. If you'd like to look it up. Now, don't forget that this occasion was just before the feast of the Passover, the feast which celebrated the liberation of the Jewish nation from the slavery of Egypt and brought them out eventually into the promised land. And a large crowd was in Jerusalem for the feast. And John writes this: "The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, 'Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel.' And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.' His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was they had heard that he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, 'You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him.' And then they started plotting for his downfall." Now, can you remember who said this? "A week is a long time in politics." Harold Wilson. First class honours degree in history for this man. Harold Wilson. "A week is a long time in politics." A week is a long time in the life of the Lord Jesus. Because just a week after this event, well, in fact less than a week, he was dying on a cross, paying for the sin, my sin and yours. Now, today is Palm Sunday, as I said, because palm branches were carried by the crowd when Jesus rode in Jerusalem. Now, this was really quite a strange triumphal procession for a king. A king would normally enter riding on a large horse, a charger, to demonstrate his power, and have a bodyguard around him of crack troops. Jesus had his disciples. And what happened to them? They all forsook him and fled at the end of the day. The common people, however, were proclaiming, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Would you have been in this crowd? It's easy to get carried along by the crowd, isn't it? Easy to follow the crowd, to join in. What's going on here? You see crowds these days, well, probably for the wrong reasons. Extinction Rebellion, barricading the refinery so that people couldn't get fuel, things like that. But this crowd was really wanting to see him. Because the reality was, this was indeed the King of Kings. Let's be in no doubt about that, who Jesus is. He is the Lord of glory. He was the one who created this world. The Bible says there's nothing that was made that was not made through him. He was the author of creation. And believe you me, it took 6 days, not millions of years. 6 days, God created everything that we see. And if you look into biology, if you look into the human body, you can see how wonderfully it is made. How wonderfully it is made. He is indeed the King of Heaven, King of Heaven, King of Kings. But as an old hymn says, and I'm really into old hymns, as you can probably guess, I think Townend is a very good writer, very good modern writer. He's in the mould of Isaac Watts and John Newton, absolutely, definitely. Really good, solid Bible in his hymns. But there's an old hymn that says, he, that's Jesus, gave up the glory of heaven, came on earth. Why? To die on Calvary. That's why he came. That's why he came down from heaven to die on Calvary. That's what he came to do. Now, where do we stand in all of this? Where are we in all of this? In the hymn we just sang, there's a verse which has really spoken to me. It includes the phrase, ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. I wonder how many of those people who were lining that road as Jesus sat on that colt and rode into Jerusalem were shouting, Hosanna, glory to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that very same week, were shouting, crucify him, get rid of him. We will not have this king to reign over us. And that's why I think this hymn has this lovely verse. Ashamed, I hear my voice, call out among the scoffers. Is that where we would be today? Or do we see instead that this was the man who paid the ultimate price for my salvation? That he came that I might be saved. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. Have you yet arrived at the realization it was your sin that put him there? That's why he went to the cross, to pay the penalty of your sin, not his sin, not her sin, your sin. I had to come to that realization one day, and I'm glad I did. And I said, Lord, forgive me. I confess I'm a sinner. I need you to save me. And he did. Not because of any merit I have, far from it. Like Paul could say, I'm least of all the saints, least of all the apostles. But he did it for me. And he bore my sin until the task was accomplished. He didn't give up halfway. He didn't say, oh, bother this, I'm not going through with this, and sent for 12 legions of angels. You know, he could have done that. I don't know what the angels thought as they looked on at this scene of the King of Kings, Lord of Glory, being nailed onto a cross. Why doesn't he call for us? We're ready to come. All he has to do is say the word and we'll be there. And those Romans won't know what hit them. But he didn't. He could have done, but he didn't. Why? Because he wanted to pay the penalty of my sin and your sin. That's what he wanted to do. It's interesting that Stuart Townend finished this verse with, I know that it is finished. Because it's interesting that when he died on the cross, that's what Jesus said. It is finished. He probably spoke Greek, which in the Greek is tetelestai, which is a phrase which means paid in full. And it would be stamped on invoices when you paid the invoice. Paid in full. It's paid in full. It's not just paid in part, it's not a deposit, it's paid in full. Every sin that you've committed in the past, even what you're going to commit in the future, has been paid for by Christ on the cross of Calvary. Why can't this break our hearts and come to him in humble repentance and faith, ask him to forgive us? Why can't we do it? If you've been using the McShane readings, at the moment we're in the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament. Now, some of these Old Testament books are quite hard, aren't they? It's a bit of a playing match. Yeah, I'll do it, so, you know, put a tick in the box then next to it. It's in the book. I've read it, you see. But, you know, it amazed me how many animals had to be slaughtered for sin. And this was a command given to Moses by God. It wasn't just it sounds like a good idea to us boys, let's do it. God said that's what you must do. And animals were killed in their, well, it seems like they're hundreds. Goats, sheep, bulls, you name it, they were slaughtered. And the blood was thrown against the altar where the mercy seat was, so that they could be forgiven. But it had to happen regularly, every day. Every day there was an evening sacrifice in the temple for sin. But not anymore. Once for all, Jesus died on the cross. Because it's those animals, although there were many, wasn't enough. Now, there's another hymn writer I'm very fond of, Isaac Watts. Now, he's not alive anymore, but he lived a long time ago. Great hymn writer. He wrote this: not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away its stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. My faith would lay her hand on that dear head of thine, while like a penitent I stand and there confess my sin. Have you come to that point? Have you come to that point of saying, yes, Jesus, I'm a sinner, I need your salvation? My soul looks back to see the burdens thou didst bear when hanging on the cursed tree, and knows her guilt was there. It was my guilt. Believing, we rejoice to see the curse remove. We bless the Lamb with cheerful voice and sing his bleeding love. As we approach Good Friday, if you haven't already done so, will not you, confessing your sin, come to Christ and receive the forgiveness only his sacrifice can give. As I said just now, when he died, his dying breath, it is finished. It's paid in full. Nothing else to pay. Stamp on that invoice. It is finished. Paid in full. And that is amazing grace for us. I want to close by reading a couple of pieces from that great preacher of long ago, Charles Spurgeon. I can recommend this, morning and evening readings by Charles Spurgeon. It can take him the smallest Bible verse and make a sermon out of it. Amazing. And I was very touched by these recently. On March the 31st, Isaiah 53 verse 5, another prophecy of what would happen to Jesus. With his stripes, we are healed. Now, as I'm reading this, I'm going to try and translate it from the oldie English with the these and thous into more modern. So I might not get it quite right. But the Pilate delivered our Lord to the lictors to be scourged. The Roman scourge was the most dreadful instrument of torture. It was made of the sinews of oxen, and sharp bones were intertwisted every here and there among the sinews, so that every time the lash came down, these pieces of bone inflicted fearful lacerations and tore off the flesh from the bone. The Saviour was no doubt bound to a column and thus beaten. He had been beaten before, but of this and the Roman lictors was probably the most severe of his flagellations. My soul, stand here and weep over his poor, stricken body. Believer in Jesus, can you gaze upon him without tears? He stands before you the mirror of agonizing love. He is at once fair as the lily of innocence and red as the rose with the crimson of his own blood. As we feel the sure and blessed healing which his stripes have wrought in us, does not our heart melt at once with love and grief? If ever we ever loved our Lord Jesus, surely must feel that affection glowing now within our bosoms. Then he quotes a hymn. See how the patient Jesus stands, insulted in his lowest case. Sinners have bound the Almighty's hands and spit in their Creator's face. With thorns his temple gored and gashed, sent streams of blood from every part. His back with knotted scourges lashed, but sharper surges tear his heart. We would fain go to our rooms and weep, but since our business calls us away, we'll first pray our beloved to imprint the image of his bleeding self upon the tablets of our hearts all the day, and at nightfall return to commune with him, and so sorrow that our sin, my sin, could have cost him so dear. And then this one more recently, Psalm 4, verse 2. O you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? Psalm 4, verse 2. An instructive writer has made a list of the honours which the blinded people of Israel awarded to their long-expected king. It was their king coming to them. And they were blind to that. They couldn't see it. The veil over their eyes, they couldn't see who he was. And this is the awards they gave to him. They gave him a procession of honour in which Roman legionaries, Jewish priests, men and women took a part. He himself bearing his cross. This is the triumph which the world awards to him who comes to overthrow man's direst foes. Derisive shouts are his only acclamations, and cruel taunts his only paeans of praise. They presented him with wine of honour. Instead of the gup of generous wine, they offered him the criminal's stupefying death draught, which he refused, because he would preserve an uninjured taste wherewith to taste of death. And afterwards, when he cried, I thirst, they gave him vinegar mixed with gall, thrust into his mouth on a sponge. Oh, wretched, detestable inhospitality to the king's son. That's what they did. They gave people who were dying on the cross. It was a fearful punishment. They gave him some medicine, sort of morphia type stuff, to dull the pain. But Jesus wouldn't have it. As soon as he tasted that, he spat it out. He wouldn't have it. He wanted to experience the whole thing for you, for me. He was provided with a guard of honor who showed their esteem of him by gambling over his garments, which they had seized as their booty. Such was the bodyguard of the adored of heaven, a quaternion of brutal gamblers. A throne of honour was found for him on the bloody tree. No easier place of rest would rebel man yield to their liege lord. The cross was in fact the full expression of the world's feeling towards him. There, they seemed to say, thou son of God, this is the manner in which God himself should be treated, could we reach him? The title of honour was nominally King of Jews, but that was a blinded nation, distinctly repudiated and really called him King of Thieves by preferring Barabbas and placing Jesus in the place of highest shame between two thieves. His glory was thus in all things turned into shame by the sons of men, but it shall yet gladden the eyes of saints and angels world without end. One day there will be a reckoning. One day we will all have to pay account. Are you trusting now that Jesus has paid your account, so that in that last day when he comes or calls, you will be ready. Because he said, I've paid in full. Let's come to him in repentance and faith, put our trust in him as the only living God, the only Savior. Let us pray. Father God, we're really ashamed of what we've done. Really ashamed of how Jesus was treated. But Lord, we know he had to go through that he might pay the penalty of my sin. Lord, we bring you glory today. We bring you praise today for who you are, what you've done, and what you've achieved. And to you alone, be all glory and praise as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.